ඊළඟ ගරු මාලික් සමරවික්‍රම ඇතුමා ඊට ප්‍රථම නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමා මුලාතෙන්ට පැමිණ ඇත.
කරමතුමා කතා කරන්න. ගරු නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි, මම ප්‍රථමයෙන්ම බොහොම කණගාටු වෙනවා මේ තරුණ මන්ත්‍රීවරයෙක් නාමල් රාජපක්ෂ මන්ත්‍රීවරයා මෙච්චර බොරු රාශියක් අද කතා කෙරුවා. මම එතුමාට කියන්න කැමතියි, එතුමාගේ රාජ්‍යයට අවුරුදු 12ක් පාලනය කරන්න, රට පාලනය කරන්න අවස්ථාව ලැබුණා. නමුත් අවුරුදු 9කට පස්සේ ඒ රට පාලනය කරන්න බැරුව නොයෙකුත් ප්‍රශ්න නිසා, විශේෂයෙන්ම ආර්ථික ප්‍රශ්න නිසා අවුරුදු 9කින් මැතිවරණයකට ඉදිරිපත් වුණා. ඒ මැතිවරණයෙන් පරාජය වෙලා අපේ ආණ්ඩුවට දැන් අවුරුදු 5කට ජන මරණයක් ලැබුණා. දැන් මම එතුමාට කියන්න කැමතියි, කලබල වෙන්න ඇතුව මේ අපිට අවුරුදු 5 පාලනය කරන්න ඉඩ දෙන්න. එතකොට ඊට අවුරුදු 5 අවසන් වුණාන් පස්සේ ජනතාව තීරණයක් කරයි. අපි වැඩ කෙරුවේ නැහැ කිව්වොත් ඔබතුමාට තව අවස්ථාවක් තියෙනවා. වැඩ තියෙනවායි කියලා දැනගත්තම නැවතත් අපිට ඒ ජන වර්මයක් ලබා දෙයි. ඒක නිසා වැඩිය කතා කරන්න වැඩිය මේ කලබල වෙන්න අවස්ථාවක් නැහැ.
ඕඩර් ප්ලීස් ගරු ඇමතුමා.
ඒ වගේම
එතුමාට පැහැදිලි කර ගැනීමක් අවශ්‍යයි.
පැහැදිලි කිරීමක් අවශ්‍ය නැහැ. මම ඩිස්ටර්බ් කරුවේ නැහැ.
හරි.
ඒ වගේම එතුමා ඉස්සෙල්ලා කිව්වා ෆෝක්ස් වෝගන් ගැන. ෆෝක්ස් වෝගන් ආයෝජනය ගෙනාවේ එතුමාගේ හොඳම යාළුවෙක්, හොඳම මිත්‍රයෙක්. එතුමාත් සමග හම්බන්තොට ජනාධිපති මැතිවරණේ ඒ මැතිවරණ කරපු කෙනෙක්. එහෙම
බෑ.
එතුමා එදා ඒ වගේම එතුමා
ඇමතුමා ඔබතුමාට පැහැදිලි කරගැනීමට අවස්ථාවක් දෙන්නේ නැහැ.
එහෙමයි. එතුමා ඒ වගේම එතුමා මේ නොයෙක් ආයෝජන ගැන කතා කරුවා. බිලියන් 2ක ආයෝජනයක් ගැන ඒක කිසිතෙක් දැම් වෙන්නේ නැහැ කියලා අපි කියන්න කැමතියි. එහෙම ඇග්‍රීමෙන්ට් එකක් ඇත්තෙත් නැහැ. ඒක ඉස්සලා තිබුණ එකක් දැන් කැන්සල් කරලා තියෙන්නේ. ඒ වගේම එතුමා මිරිජ්ජවල මේ තියෙන ඉන්ඩස්ට්‍රීස් නාතරලා තියෙනවා කියලා. ඒකත් සම්පූර්ණ බොරුවක්. අපි කිසි දෙයක් මිරිජ්ජවල තියෙන ඒ ඉකොනොමික් සෝන් එකෙන් නාතරලා නැහැ. ඒ වගේම එතුමා අර ඕමානයේ ඉන්දියාවේ කම්පනිය ගැන කතා කෙරුවා. මම මේක ටේබල් කරන්න කැමතියි. ඒ ඉන්දියාවෙන් එන ආයෝජකගේ ඒ කම්පනිවල වත්කම ඩොලර් බිලියන 7යි. මම මේක ටේබල් කරන්න කැමතියි. ඔක්කොම මෙතන තියෙනවා. ඒ වගේම ඕමාන් රටේ ඇමතිවරයා කියන ප්‍රකාශයක් කරලා තියෙනවා පෙරේදා ඉරිදා. The Omani government is planning to invest in an oil refinery in Sri Lanka. The oil minister Mohammad Al Rumi said on Saturday, according to the Oman news agency. Ren bodma kalabala wenna epa. Tiya balagena inda, yusagena inna mata peena obathumage moone kochchara irisiyawada kiyala. Eka kalabala wenna epa. Api wadak keruwe naththam obathumada awasthawa thiyenawa. Api wadak keruwa nan obathumala apita apahu awasthawak labena. Honorable Deputy Speaker, the budget 2019 has laid out a very clear focus on growing the economy, creating jobs, and making the economy more competitive and enterprise driven. And it builds on the budget of 2018 and the Vision 2025 plan. The Ministry of Development Strategies and International Trade has been playing a key role in driving important aspects of this agenda, particularly trade, investment, and exports. It is now widely recognized that our ministry has played and continues to play a vital catalytic role in improving the investment climate and creating an environment in which firms and entrepreneurs have opportunities and incentives to invest productively, create jobs, enhance private sector competitiveness, and thereby contribute to strong economic growth. The three institutions under my ministry, the Board of Investment, the Export Development Board, and the Import-Export Control Department, have been working tirelessly aligned to this agenda and the wider Vision 2025 agenda, along with the Department of Commerce. Let me first highlight the key achievements of exports and FDI in 2018. Sri Lanka's foreign exchange earnings from export of merchandise and services have grown by 24% during the last 3 years. Export revenue in 2018 was in fact $17 billion, although the record shows 16.4. There are about 600 million goods which were shipped in December, which has been recorded in January, as the exporters have delayed to submit their bills of lading. And these figures do not include the revenue earned from tourism, which was a further $4.3 billion. It was noteworthy that for the first time in our history, monthly merchandise exports has topped $1 billion every month for the past 6 months. Strong performance is evident in some of the focus sectors identified under the National Export Strategy, notably electronics and electrical components exports that increased by 16.2% and food and beverage exports by 22.6%. The apparel sector that accounts for 33% of the total exports achieved 100% of the target of $5.3 billion during 2018. New orders from the EU were secured as a result of GSP Plus benefit. By export market, earnings in our two most important regions of USA and Europe have increased steadily by 5.65% and 5.15% respectively. Within the EU region, important markets like Germany, Italy, and Netherlands have shown robust growth of 14%, 9%, and 17% respectively. In Japan, where we have embarked on a renewed focus following our trade and investment mission last year, our exports grew by a robust 9% in 2018. It is particularly noteworthy that our exports to the South Asian region have grown substantially by 10% to reach almost $1.1 billion, driven in large part by exports to India that grew 11.35% from $689.4 million in 2017 to $767.6 during the year 2018. Now let me turn to foreign direct investments. Honourable Deputy Speaker, FDI inflows in 2018 reached $2.37 billion, which is the highest ever recorded FDI inflow into Sri Lanka. This shows an increase of 25% compared with 1.9 worth of FDI received in 2017. We are now focusing strongly on increasing the contribution from manufacturing and services, especially export-oriented projects. This year, BOI has already granted approval to set up an export-oriented oil refinery, as we said earlier, with a proposed investment of $4 billion and a steel products manufacturing plant with an investment of $1 billion. The refinery was launched in Hamband on the 24th of last month, and the steel plant will be launched around May, June this year. In 2018, BOI approved 128 projects to the value of $2.5 billion. And the breakdown is in the utilities sector, $1 billion, infrastructure, $700 million, and manufacturing and services, $800 million. In 2019, so far, the BOI has granted approval for 24 projects to the value of $5.5 billion, which includes the export-oriented refinery and the steel plant. Ultimately, FDI in all forms is important for us, as it is a key source of non-debt creating foreign inflows. Honourable Deputy Speaker, let me now speak about our Ministry's initiatives on exports and competitiveness that are helping our domestic industry. Our Ministry is implementing several initiatives that are improving the competitiveness of Sri Lanka's domestic enterprises by providing them with supportive policies and strategies, financial and technical support, and enabling infrastructure. Many of the initiatives that we have been and are championing are things that have been postponed in Sri Lanka for nearly two decades and was urgently needed to place us firmly on a sustained and competitive growth path. These initiatives won't bear fruit in a month or a year, but would have lasting positive impacts on the economic trajectory of our country. The National Export Strategy 2018 to 2022, which has been implemented since launched in July 2018 is progressing well. Anchored to the plans of action of six sectors and three trade support functions. The NES is a carefully structured five-year strategy with active public and private sector stakeholder participation aimed at increasing export revenue to $28 billion by 2022. Together with the EDB, the NES management unit established under our ministry leads the coordination, follow-up, and the monitoring of NES, while 16 advisory committees established by the EDB guide the implementation with relevant stakeholders. The NES contains elements of modern industrial policy by focusing on what sectors can be promoted given the country's strength as well as given emerging opportunities. The NES provides an agenda for action in order to improve the competitiveness of six focus sectors and provides improvement of trade support functions like logistics, trade information and promotion, and national quality infrastructure to improve competitiveness of all sectors. During this year, we hope to accelerate NES implementation with close follow-up with all implementing partners, taking a whole-of-government approach. In 2018, the EDB launched a flagship program to make trade more inclusive across our country. We are conscious that the export-oriented sector in Sri Lanka is not as widespread as it could be, so we have embarked on an island-wide program to foster new exporters. The 2,000 exporters program will incubate a whole generation of new exporters in this country and make the gains of international trade more inclusive. Entrepreneurs and aspiring exporters from all parts of the country are being helped through these programs, which will cover a new district each month. Already, programs have been conducted for over 2,500 entrepreneurs in Jaffna, Kandy, Kurunagala, Mathura, Anuradhapura, and Vavuniya. In addition, a women entrepreneurship development program to transform them into exporters is also being implemented. This year, we will also include specialized sector-wise development program based on the needs of each district and hold private-public partnerships, dialogues on trade policy matters with the business leaders in the provinces. Honourable Deputy Speaker, in 2018, we also launched a unique program called the Market Access Support Scheme based on a 2018 budget proposal. Under this, we have helped 150 domestic enterprises improve their products, their marketing, and their technical resources towards becoming more successful in the international market. Enterprises get matching grants for applying for special standards and certifications to make process or product improvement, to obtain external technical expertise, or reach into a new market with a market trend study or participation in targeted B2Bs. The assistance has covered enterprises across Colombo, Kalutara, Kandy, Polonnaruwa, Gampaha, Putnam, Kurunagala, and Hambantota. In 2019, we aim to expand and accelerate the delivery of this program so that it reaches hundreds more enterprises across the country and quickly boosts their international trade competitiveness and have it reflected in higher export earnings. In October last year, the Cabinet of Ministers approved for adoption and implementation the National Innovation and Entrepreneur Strategy. This much-awaited landmark strategy was co-created with the private sector following extensive consultations with public and private actors and after a diagnostic study was done with the support of the World Bank. Under this, a unique support scheme called the Enterprise Innovation Program, the first of its kind in Sri Lanka, is due to be launched. Unfortunately, it was delayed due to the political crisis of October 26. Through this, domestic entrepreneurs can get matching grants to support them to develop new products, introduce new technology into their business, improve processes, conduct R&D, and overall become much more competitive to meet the global market pressures. This complements nicely the concessionary loans on offer under the Enterprise Sri Lanka program, where the entrepreneurs can expand and improve their business with lower cost capital. In 2019, we hope to launch the Enterprise Innovation Program as well as operationalize other priority elements of the INE strategy in partnership with relevant line ministers and donor partners. To ensure that our domestic enterprises have a favorable business climate and more friendly bureaucratic procedures, we are forging ahead with the efforts to improve on the Doing Business Index and implement the WTO Trade Facilitation Agreement. Last year was a noteworthy year for the ease of doing business reform agenda. On the Doing Business Index, Sri Lanka rose up 11 places in 2019 to reach 100th position due to the focused effort on reforming key pillars that matter, like setting up a business, dealing with construction permits, and online tax payment. The World Bank evaluation team has recognized four major reforms conducted by us in 2018, which led to the jump in rankings. Several other reform areas are ongoing and will get reflected in next year's rankings. The latest reform is the appointment of an official receiver for the first time in Sri Lanka, which is a key part of easing the business winding up process. Our aim is to rise up to 70th place by 2020, and we are confident that the necessary reforms are underway towards achieving this goal. We also commenced a series of reforms to make it easier for foreign and local investors. The most notable of these was the launch last year of the web portal of the Single Window Investment Facilitation Task Force, or SWIFT. SWIFT is continuously improving service delivery times and fast-tracking the approval process of various line agencies within a set time period. 13 out of 24 identified line agencies have signed MOUs with the BOI, committing to work under a single web platform to facilitate and expedite project approvals, licenses, permits by the investors. It is expected that this year it will reduce the time taken for investment approvals by 20%. The BOI has also focused on promoting reinvestment and a dedicated group for this purpose was established with the mandate of encouraging existing investors to reinvest, expand, or upgrade their businesses through facilitating and solving their bottlenecks. Further, this group also entrusted with identifying new potential investors through existing investors' channels. In 2018, the BOI embarked on a more targeted investment promotion regime by identifying focus sectors and markets. From time to time, inward and outward missions have been organized using a targeted approach. Germany, Japan were some of the key outward missions in 2018, with well-curated programs and high-level participation from government and the private sector. BOI identified new target sectors for attracting FDIs and enhanced export revenue through an in-depth research study in collaboration with Harvard University's Center for International Development and the World Bank Group. In identifying target sectors, special focus has been placed on export-oriented merchandise goods as well as services with a view to enhance foreign exchange earnings and to diversify Sri Lanka's export basket. We have also identified that a lack of commercial land availability is a critical constraint affecting the investment climate in the country, and so embarked on systematic progress to unlock this problem by way of building new industrial zones. Last year, we started work on new zones in Millennia and Bingiriya, the first new zones in our country in 16 years. The Bingiriya zone was launched last month in the presence of the Honorable Prime Minister. Zones in Mavathagama, Millennia, and Trincomalee will also follow. These will not only ease the land constraint for investors, but more importantly, generate thousands of new export sector jobs for our youth in these areas. 13 investors have already informed the BOI that they intend investing in Bingiriya, which will cover the entire phase one and will provide employment to 12,000. The investment value will be over $150 million. In the trade facilitation domain, the National Trade Information Portal was launched last year and has changed the way domestic enterprises discover and use trade related information to operate and grow their business. Moreover, the blueprint for an electronic national single window is complete and development work would begin shortly. With both of these, Sri Lanka would then have an advanced trade facilitation infrastructure which would greatly minimize procedural delays and transaction costs faced by our domestic enterprises. The establishment of a trade promotion platform is underway to promote exports internationally in a single platform. The platform is designed to cater to prospective and current buyers to source products and services from Sri Lanka and for Sri Lankan entrepreneurs to enhance the reputation of product service brands and to obtain relevant and timely trade information. This platform is to be launched in mid-2019 and will specially promote the SME sector, increase business transactions through the online trading portal, and will facilitate business-to-business matchmaking. Honourable Deputy Speaker, in 2018, our ministry continued to be the anchor for several important bilateral trade and investment partnerships, including India, China, Singapore, Bangladesh, Thailand, EU, Australia, Japan, and New Zealand. In 2018, we signed a landmark Sri Lanka-Singapore Free Trade Agreement that has ushered in a new era of trade links with the dynamic and growing Southeast Asian region. This agreement has been widely hailed by both sides as a high-quality agreement that signals Sri Lanka's commitment to reform and opening up. Despite the baseless allegations and factors claimed by a narrow few, this FTA has the potential to bring investments and jobs to benefit hundreds of thousands of Sri Lankans. We continue to progress on the Indo-Sri Lanka EDCA talk as well as the China-Sri Lanka FTA talks. We have also commenced the initial work on a Thailand-Sri Lanka FTA and also commissioned a feasibility study on the Bangladesh-Sri Lanka FTA. Meanwhile, we launched an important trade and investment framework agreement with Australia in April last year and now use it as a platform to encourage more bilateral trade and attract Australian investment. The EU dialogue was held at regular intervals last year and was the prime forum for listening to and resolving issues faced by EU investors. Several high-profile issues were resolved with the leadership of our ministry in coordination with the relevant line ministries, and this process has been hailed by the EU ambassador as a credible and useful platform for US investors. Honourable Deputy Speaker, the BOI, EDB, and the Department of Commerce will continue to strengthen their efforts to support the reorientation of our economy to one that is driven by trade, investment, and exports. In addition to continuing ongoing programs that have proven to be useful and have an impact on the trade and investment climate, they will be adding new initiatives based on the needs of the economy. We are also building new capabilities in these institutions to meet the new needs and continually upgrade and modernize. The Department of Commerce is setting up a trade remedies unit for the first time in its history, staffed by competent officers to deal with industry needs under the anti-dumping and safeguard laws. The EDB will launch a 12-month capability building program for its staff, delivered by Enterprise Sri Lanka, the apex agency that helps take Sri Lanka companies go global. The program is supported by Temasek Foundation and Singapore Corporation Enterprise. This is part of a wider ongoing effort to restructure the EDB and gear it to the new needs of enterprises. A key new initiative in 2019 will be the Trade Adjustment Program. In order to ensure that our domestic private sector has a meaningful mechanism to adapt to a more liberalized trade regime, we have prepared a trade adjustment program for the first time in Sri Lanka. It received cabinet approval last month and will commence implementation under our ministry in close cooperation with the Ministry of Finance. We prepared this after recognizing that alongside the reduction in paratariffs and tariffs, our enterprises and our workers would need to help to adjust to the new market conditions. Moreover, the heightened pressure of international trade means that our enterprises need a meaningful mechanism to seek redress in the event of import surges and dumping from other countries.
Do you have 2 more minutes?
I need about 5.
I'll take it off your Honourable Deputy Minister's
Developed with technical inputs from the Harvard Kennedy School and the World Bank, The TAP, the adjustment program, has been customized to suit the Sri Lankan context and was subject to intense consultation with industry groups and was even released for open public comments. Two important pieces of legislation that underpinned this effort were passed last year, the Anti-Dumping and Countervailing Measures Act and the Safeguard Measures Act. This was another landmark achievement, particularly as these laws have been delayed by previous regimes for far too long. Now, with these laws in place, our domestic enterprises have a proper legal cover to combat incidents of import surges, dumping, and unfair trade practices by foreign countries. We consider this an important complement to the trade liberalization and internationalization efforts of the government. Under the TAP, there will be a Trade and Productivity Commission, which comprises of senior private sector experts and academics, to hear private sector submissions on any fallouts faced by them as a result of trade liberalization, and subsequently recommend appropriate adjustment assistance. This mechanism is a departure from the usual process of narrow interest lobbying that companies tend to do, and instead provide an open and credible platform for addressers' concern of trade injury. We have arranged for the Australian Productivity Commission to provide technical support for the establishment of the TPC, learning lessons from their highly successful Australian Productivity Commission and the cooperative manner in which Australia conducted its trade liberalisation. Under the supervision of our ministry, the BOI has undertaken the redevelopment of the former Bogambara prison. The first phase will be completed in June, and stage one of the second phase will commence in April this year, to be completed within a year. We are seeking assistance from the Japanese government to restore the main prison building, which will be stage two of the second phase. We have invited the private sector investor to construct a hotel outside the premises, and this will be phase three. All the renovations and restorations are being done with the approval of the Department of Archaeology in order to preserve its cultural value. Once the project is completed, locals and tourists will be able to spend time at this complex, where the traditional Kandyan arts and crafts and the Kandyan dancing will be featured. I intend discussing this proposal with all the minister, all the MPs from both the government and the opposition. Let me finish, and then I'll talk to you. Concluding remarks, Honourable Speaker, all of the initiatives that our ministry is implementing are things that benefit the many and not the few, making the economy better for the vast majority of enterprises and entrepreneurs, not the few crony capitalists who succeed based on patronage or a parasitic relationship with the state. These initiatives will usher in, and arguably are already ushering in, a new era of private enterprise-driven dynamism for our country, reversing the anti-export bias and a growth model heavily reliant on government spending that we have seen over the last decades, and now know is not sustainable or successful. Honourable Deputy Speaker, there have been many detractors and much opposition, as we just saw earlier in the day. But the reality is clear. We are focused on creating good quality jobs for the youth of our country and an opportunity to change their destiny. We are not interested in personal gain and are not interested in creating political loyalties. We are not interested in naming things after ourselves or telling people that these are gifts from political masters. We are more interested in making sure that the things we do bring real benefits for our people, and making sure that these projects are sustainable and are commercially feasible. Our objective is to take our country to the next level and improving the standards of all our people. And to do so, I seek the cooperation of all members of this House. Let us keep petty politics aside and work together to build our nation. Finally, let me thank the Deputy Minister, Honourable Nalin Bandara, the Secretary of our Ministry, Mr. Kodikara, Additional Secretary, Mr. Gunasinghe, and the officers of the Ministry, former Secretary, Mr. Chandani Vijayawardena, the Chairman, Directors, Director General, and the staff of the Board of Investment, Chairperson, Directors, Director General, and the staff of EDB, Director General of Commerce, and the officers of the Department of Commerce, the Controller General of the Import Export Department, and the staff, my two advisors, Mr. Mangali Apa and Mr. Anushka Vijayasinghe, Mr. KJ Veerasinghe and the FTA negotiating team for their cooperation and untiring efforts. Let me also thank the private sector chambers and the business leaders who volunteer to assist us and continue to support us to make our country a better place for everyone. Thank you.
ගරු මහින්දානන්ද අරගෙන මම තමයි ඔබට මේ ප්‍රශ්න අහනවා.
ගරු ඇමතුමා ඔබතුමාගෙන් දැනගන්න කැමති මේ බෝගම්බර ඔබතුමාලා කරන ව්‍යාපෘතිය පිළිබඳ කෙටි විනාඩි 30කින් කියන්න පුළුවන් නම් මොකද ඔබතුමා බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන්නේ කියලා?
අපි බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන්නේ මම මේක ඔබතුමාලාට මම ආරාධනා කරනවා හතර වෙනිදාට මම මේක මේ ඒ ගැන විස්තර දෙන්නම්. අපි බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන්නේ මේ උඩ රට විශේෂම නුවර looking at the සංස්කෘතික සහ සංස්කෘතික මධ්‍යස්ථානයක් වාගේ හදන්න. We would make it a cultural center, Candian arts and crafts, Candian dancing and so on. What I intend doing is to make a presentation even to the members of the opposition like you who are interested in this whole thing. And we can meet on the 4th and I will explain all the details.
Thank you. Honorable Ade Karunathan, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Deputy Speaker. தேசிய ஒருமைப்பாடு அரச கர்ம மொழிகள் சமூக மேம்பாடு மற்றும் இந்து சமய அலுவல்கள் அமைச்சு என்ற தலைப்பிலே நான் உரையாற்ற இருக்கிறேன். எனது நண்பர் மனோ கணேசன் அவர்களுடைய இந்த அமைச்சுக்குள் வருகின்ற உடையத்திலே உரையாற்றுவதிலே மற்றிடம் மகிழ்ச்சி அடைகிறேன். உண்மையிலே அவரை பாராட்ட வேண்டும். இந்த தேசிய ஒருமைப்பாடு அரச கர்ம மொழிகளிலே தன்னுடைய அளப்பெரிய சேவையை செய்து வருகின்ற துணிச்சலோடு கருத்துக்களை சொல்லுகின்ற துணிச்சலோடு செய்கின்ற இந்த நண்பர் அமைச்சர் அவர்களை வாழ்த்தி இந்த திரிகதீஸ்வரம் மாந்தை பிரச்சினை இப்பொழுது ஒரு அரசியல் மயமாக்குகின்ற இரண்டு சமூகங்களுக்கும் பிரிவை கொண்டு வருகின்ற ஒரு செயல்பாடாக நடந்து கொண்டிருக்கின்ற ஒரு துப்பாக்கிய நிலை இப்பொழுது ஏற்படுத்தப்பட்டிருக்கிறது. அந்த வகையிலே எங்களுடைய மக்களை பொறுத்தமட்டிலே தங்களுடைய உறவுகள் என்ற அடிப்படையிலே ஒரே இனமாக தமிழினம் தமிழ் பேசும் மக்கள் வாழ்ந்து வந்த அந்த வரலாற்று சிறப்பு மிக்க இடமாக மாந்தை இருந்தது. அதே போல வன்னி மாவட்டம் இருந்தது. அதே போல ஒவ்வொரு வடக்கு கிழக்கிலே பார்த்தீர்கள் என்றால் இந்த சமூகத்தின் ஒற்றுமை என்பது சில சில நீர்பூத்த நெருப்பான பிரச்சனைகள் இருந்தாலும் கூட இந்த சமூக ஒற்றுமை என்பது மிக ஆணித்தரமாக பின்பற்றப்படப்பட்டது. ஆனால் இப்பொழுது இந்த இரண்டு கோயில்களின் பிரச்சனை என்பது பூதாகாரமாக்கப்படுகின்ற ஒரு நிலை காணப்படுவதை நாங்கள் அனுமதிக்க முடியாது. இதை வைத்துக்கொண்டு அரசியல் நடத்துகின்ற அல்லது அரசியல் செய்வதற்கான வாய்ப்புகளை பெறுவதற்கும் நாங்கள் அனுமதிக்க முடியாது. எனவே அமைச்சர் அவர்களிடம் நான் ஒரு வேண்டுகோளை விடுக்கின்றேன் என்றால் உங்களுக்கு ஒரு பொறுப்பு இருக்கிறது. நாங்களும் உங்களுக்கு ஒத்துழைப்பு கொடுக்க தயாராக இருக்கிறோம். நாங்கள் எங்களுடைய குருக்கள் வாரையும் முக்கியமானவர்களையும் விசப் பங்கு தந்தையர்களையும் அழைத்து ஒரு கூட்டத்தை நாங்கள் கூட்டி உடனடியாக இந்த முடிவுக்கு வருகின்ற ஒரு வாய்ப்பை கொண்டு வர வேண்டும். இதை நாங்கள் தொடரவிட்டால் உண்மையிலே ஒரு சமூகங்களுக்குள்ளே அடிபடுகின்ற, ஏனென்றால் பொதுவாக சமயத்தை தூண்டிவிட்டால் சமூக பிரச்சனை என்பது மிக எளிதாக அது சொல்லுங்கள்.
கௌரவ குழுக்களே, தமிழ் மக்களை தமிழினத்தை மத அடிப்படையிலே பிரித்து அரசு செய்வதற்கு எந்த சந்தர்ப்பத்தையும் எடுத்துக் கொடுக்க மாட்டேன். நிச்சயமாக உங்களை ஒத்துழைத்து செயல்படுகிறேன். நிச்சயமாக இந்த விடுமுறை காட்களில் நிச்சயமாக நான் மன்னருக்கு வருகின்றேன். நாங்கள் எல்லோரும் அனைவரும் ஒன்று சேர்ந்து பேசி கலந்துரையாடி பிரச்சனை தீர்ப்போம். நிச்சயமாக
உங்களை பற்றி தெரியும், நீங்கள் அதற்கு இடம் கொடுக்க மாட்டீர்கள் என்பது எங்களுக்கு தெரியும். அதனால் நாங்கள் உங்களிடம் அந்த கோரிக்கையை முன்வைக்கின்றோம். வெகு விரைவிலே அதை செய்ய வேண்டும். இல்லை என்றால் உண்மையிலே ஒவ்வொரு இடத்திலும் அது பெருகுகின்ற அந்த வாய்ப்பாக மாறுகிறது. ஒரு உதாரணத்தை முடித்து நான் ஒரு இரண்டு கடவுள்களின் செயல்பாட்டை நான் இங்கு உதாரணமாக சொல்லிக்கொள்ள விரும்புகின்றேன். ஜேசுநாதர் இப்பொழுது தவசு காலம் நடக்கிறது. ஜேசுநாதரை பொறுத்தமட்டிலே மக்களுடைய பாவங்களை தானே சுமந்து அவர் தானே இறந்த அந்த வரலாறு தான் கிறிஸ்தவ மக்கள் சொல்லப்படுகின்ற பைபிளிலே சொல்லப்படுகின்ற ஜேசுநாதர் அந்த மக்களுக்காக தண்ணீரை நீர்த்தார் என்பது ஒரு விடயம். இரண்டாவது, சிவபெருமானை பொறுத்தமட்டிலே அவருடைய கையிலே பிச்சை பாத்திரம் இருக்கிறது. அந்த பிச்சை பாத்திரம் எப்படி என்றால், ஒவ்வொரு வீடு வீடாக சென்று அந்த மக்களுடைய பாவங்களை அவர் ஏற்றுக்கொண்டு அந்த பாவங்களுக்காக அவர் தன்னுடைய செயல்பாட்டிலே அந்த பாவங்களை ஏற்றுக்கொண்டு அந்த மக்களுக்கு புண்ணியம் அளிக்கின்ற செயற்பாட்டை சிவபெருமான் செய்வதாக கூறப்படுகிறது. ஆகவே இந்த இரண்டு கடவுள்களும் மக்களுடைய பாவங்களுக்காக, மக்களுடைய அந்த துப்பாக்கிய அதாவது துர் நடத்தைகளை அல்லது ஒரு சமூகத்திலே ஏற்படுகின்ற ஒரு அந்த அந்த மக்களுடைய தவறான நடத்தைகளை ஏற்றுக்கொண்டு அவர்கள் அந்த மக்களுக்காக வாழுகின்ற, மக்களுக்காக அர்ப்பணிக்கின்ற செயற்பாடைத்தான் இரண்டு கடவுள்களும் செய்கிறார்கள். கடவுள் மனிதரிடம் எதிர்பார்ப்பது மனிதநேயம். அந்த மனிதநேயம் எப்படி என்று சொன்னால், அவர் ஒரு காயப்பட்டவருக்கு மருந்து கட்ட வேண்டும், உணவில்லாததற்கு உணவு கொடுக்க வேண்டும், உடையில்லாதவருக்கு உடை கொடுக்க வேண்டும், இப்படியான செயல்பாடுகளை எங்களுடைய மனிதர்கள் செய்கின்ற போதுதான் கடவுளுக்கு ஏற்புடைய மனித நேயம் என்பது, அவர் நினைக்கின்ற எதிர்பார்க்கின்ற மனித நேயம் என்பது அந்த கடவுளுக்கு ஒரு சந்தோஷத்தை அவர் ஏற்றுக்கொள்ளுகின்ற மக்களாக மாறுகின்ற செயல்பாட்டைத்தான் சமயங்கள் எடுத்து கூறுகின்றன. அந்த வகையிலே எங்களை பொறுத்த மட்டிலே இந்த விடயத்திலே முற்றுப்புள்ளி வைக்க வேண்டும். சமயங்கள் எங்களுடைய சமூகத்தை, நாங்கள் எல்லாரும் தமிழ் பேசும் மக்கள், மொழி அந்த உரிமை என்பதுதான் முக்கியமாக இருக்கிறது. எங்களை வழிநடத்துகின்ற ஒரு பங்கு சமயத்துக்கு இருக்கிறது. ஆகவே சமயத்தை வைத்துக் கொண்டு பிரித்தாளுகின்ற சந்தர்ப்பத்தை உருவாக்க முடியாது. ஒரு விடயத்தை நான் சொல்லி முடிக்கின்றேன். கௌரவ பிரதி சபாநாயகர் அவர்களே, இந்த சம்பவத்திலே ஒரு பங்கு தந்தை மார்க்கஸ் அடிகளார் வந்து சம்பந்தப்படுத்திருக்கிறார். ஆனால் அவர் அந்த சம்பவத்தை பார்க்க போன இடத்திலே படம் எடுத்து அதை அவர் சம்பந்தப்பட்டதாக சொல்லப்படுகிறது. உண்மையிலே அவர் அதிலே பார்க்க போனவர் என்பதுதான் உண்மையான விடயம். அந்த வகையிலே நாங்கள் உண்மையிலே வெகு விரைவில், அமைச்சர் அவர்கள் நீங்கள் ஒரு தேதியை தாருங்கள், நாங்கள் எல்லாரும் சேர்ந்து இந்த பிரச்சனைக்கு முற்றுப்புள்ளி வைக்கின்ற ஒரு சுமூகமான தீர்வை பெறுகின்ற வாய்ப்பை ஏற்படுத்துவதற்கான வழியை நாங்கள் எல்லாரும் சேர்ந்து சமைப்போம் என்பதை கூறிக்கொண்டு வாய்ப்பு அளித்ததற்கு நன்றி கூறி விடைபெறுகிறேன்.
Thank you. Honorable Srinivasan, you have 10 minutes.
கௌரவ சபைக்கு தலைமை தாங்குகின்ற பிரதி சபாநாயகர் அவர்களே, இன்றைய விவாத விடயதானங்களான அபிவிருத்தி உபாய முறைகள், சர்வதேச வர்த்தகம் மற்றும் தேசிய ஒருமைப்பாடு, அரச கர்ம மொழிகள், சமூக முன்னேற்றம் மற்றும் இந்து அலுவல்கள் அமைச்சு தொடர்பான விடயதானங்கள் இருக்கின்றன. அந்த வகையில் முதலாவதாக நான் இந்த அபிவிருத்தி உபாய முறைகள், சர்வதேச வர்த்தகம் பற்றிய விடயத்திற்கு வருகின்றேன். குறிப்பாக நான் குறிப்பிடுகின்ற விடயம் என்னவென்றால், கடந்த 30 ஆண்டுகளில் வடக்கு கிழக்கு பிரதேசத்தில் ஒரு பாரதூரமான யுத்தம் நடைபெற்று முடிவடைந்து இப்போது 10 ஆண்டுகள் கடந்திருக்கின்றன. இந்த 10 ஆண்டுகள் கடந்ததன் பின்னர் ஒரு மதிப்பீடு செய்து பார்க்கின்ற போது, இந்த யுத்த வலயங்களாக, யுத்த காண்டமாக இருந்த பிரதேசங்களில் எப்படியான அபிவிருத்திகள் நடந்திருக்கின்றன என்பதை பற்றி நாங்கள் ஆழமாக பரிசீலிக்க வேண்டியிருக்கின்றது. வடக்கு கிழக்கு மாகாணங்களில் 2 வலயங்கள் காணப்பட்டன. அதாவது ராணுவ கட்டுப்பாடு உள்ள வலயம், ராணுவ கட்டுப்பாடற்ற வலயம். இந்த ராணுவ கட்டுப்பாடற்ற வலயத்தில் இப்போது விடுவிப்பு நடந்திருந்தாலும் கூட அந்த பிரதேசத்தில் தொடர்ந்தும் பொருளாதார தட்டுப்பாடு நிலை கொண்டிருப்பதை காணக்கூடியதாக இருக்கின்றது. இந்த அமைச்சின் கீழ் வருகின்ற அபிவிருத்தி உபாய முறைகள் மற்றும் சர்வதேச வர்த்தகம் தொடர்பான அமைச்சும் கைத்தொழில் அமைச்சும் இணைந்து பணியாற்றுகின்ற போது, அந்த பிரதேசங்களில் தொடர்ந்து நீடித்துக் கொண்டிருக்கின்ற அந்த பொருளாதார தட்டுப்பாட்டு நிலையினை போக்க முடியும். நாங்கள் யுத்தம் முடிந்த பின்னர் 10 ஆண்டுகளில் யுத்த காண்டமாக இருந்த பிரதேசங்களில் எப்படியான அபிவிருத்திகளை செய்திருக்கின்றோம் என்று பார்த்தால், நிச்சயமாக அந்த யுத்த காண்டமாக இருந்த பிரதேசங்கள், அல்லது யுத்த பிரதேசங்களாக இருந்த பிரதேசங்களில் கைத்தொழில் தொடர்பான அபிவிருத்திகள் எதுவும் நடந்ததாக தெரியவில்லை. யுத்தம் நடைபெறுவதற்கு முந்தியும் யுத்த காலத்திலும் கூட மட்டக்களப்பை எடுத்துக்கொண்டால் மட்டக்களப்பில் 5 தொழிற்சாலைகள் இயங்கி வந்தன. சில இயங்கி ஆரம்பித்த நிலையிலேயே மூடப்பட்டிருந்தன. அந்த தொழிற்சாலைகளை மீண்டும் கொண்டு வர வேண்டும் என்று நாங்கள் இந்த பாராளுமன்றத்திற்கு பிரவேசித்த காலத்திலிருந்து தொடர்ந்தும் குரல் எழுப்பி வருகின்றோம். கடதாசி தொழிற்சாலை வாழைச்சேனை கதைத்து கதைத்து எங்களுடைய வாய்களும் சலித்து போய்விட்டன. அதே போன்றுதான் ஓட்டு தொழிற்சாலை மண்டூரிலும் இருந்தது. அதே போன்று இழுப்பட்டிச்சேனை என்று என்கின்ற இடத்திலும் காணப்பட்டது. அதே போன்று அரசு அச்சகம் கும்புறுமுலை என்ற இடத்தில் காணப்பட்டது. அரிசி ஆலை தேவபுரத்தில் காணப்பட்டது. நான் சொல்லுகின்ற இந்த 5 ஆலைகளில் ஒன்றாவது இதுவரை திறக்கப்படவில்லை. கடந்த ஆட்சியாளர்களின் 5 கால பகுதியிலும் திறக்கப்படவில்லை. தற்போதைய ஆட்சி காலத்தின் 3.5 வருடங்களிலும் கூட திறக்கப்படவில்லை என்றால் இந்த யுத்தகலமாக இந்த பிரதேசத்தில் வாழ்ந்த மக்களுக்கு நாங்கள் என்ன ஒரு பங்களிப்பை செய்திருக்கின்றோம், அவர்களுடைய வாழ்வாதாரத்திற்கு என்ன செய்திருக்கின்றோம் என்ற கேள்வி இப்போது எழுகின்றது. யுத்தம் முடிந்த பின்னர் பல்வேறுபட்ட பாதிப்புகள், அதில் குறிப்பாக பொருளாதாரம் சார்ந்த வாழ்வாதாரம் சார்ந்த பாதிப்புகள் அதிகமாக காணப்பட்டன. அதிகமான இளைஞர் யுவதிகள் தொழிலற்ற நிலையில் காணப்படுகின்றார்கள். விதவை தாய்மார்கள் பெண் தலைமை ஏற்கின்ற குடும்பமாக இருந்து குடும்பத்தை ஆணாகவும் பெண்ணாகவும் இருந்து வழிநடத்தி வருகின்றார்கள். இப்படியான ஒரு சூழ்நிலையில் அவர்களுக்கு தொழில் வாய்ப்புகளை கொடுக்காமல் இருப்பது என்பது மீண்டும் மனத்தில் விரக்திகளை ஏற்படுத்தி ஒரு விபரீதமான பாதைகளுக்கு செல்வதற்கு நாங்கள் வழி திறப்பது போன்று அமைந்திருக்கும். சர்வதேச வர்த்தகத்திற்கு பொறுப்பான அமைச்சர் கௌரவ் மலிக் சமரவிக்ரம அவர்கள் குறிப்பிட்டிருந்தார், பிரண்டிக்ஸ் என்று சொல்லப்படுகின்ற ஒரு ஆடை தொழிற்சாலை கொண்டு வரப்பட்டிருக்கின்றது. நாங்கள் அதனை ஏற்றுக்கொள்கின்றோம். அந்த தொழிற்சாலை வந்ததனால் ஆயிரக்கணக்கான யுவதிகளுக்கு தொழில் வாய்ப்பு கிடைத்திருக்கின்றது என்பதையும் ஏற்றுக்கொள்கின்றோம். யுவதிகள் இளைஞர்களுக்கு கிடைத்திருக்கின்றது. ஆனால் எந்த ஒரு தொழிற்சாலையும் இந்த யுத்த காண்டமாக இருந்த யுத்த பிரதேசங்களுக்கு இன்னும் கொண்டு வரப்படவில்லை. தொழிலாளர்களை ஏற்றுமதி செய்து கொண்டு நீண்ட தூரத்திற்கு கொண்டு சென்று தொழில்களை வாங்குகின்ற ஒரு வேலைப்பாடு தான் நடக்கின்றதை ஒழிய தொழிலாளர்களாக பணியாற்றக்கூடியவர்கள் செறிவாக இருக்கின்ற பிரதேசங்களில் எந்த ஒரு தொழிற்சாலையும் அமைக்கப்படவில்லை. இப்போது கடதாசி தொழிற்சாலை அமைப்பது பற்றி கூறப்பட்டுக் கொண்டிருக்கின்றது. எப்போது அமைக்கப்படும், எப்போது தொழில் வாய்ப்புகள் கிடைக்கும் என்கின்ற ஒரு கணிப்பீடுகள் இன்னும் வெளியில் வரவில்லை. அதே போன்றுதான் நான் குறிப்பிடுகின்ற ஒரு விடயம், இந்த வாகரை பிரதேசம் முழுமையாக யுத்த பிரதேசமாக இருந்த பிரதேசம் எந்த ஒரு தொழிற்சாலையும் இல்லாமல் அப்படியே வெறுமனே கிடக்கின்றது. அதே போன்று வெள்ளாவளி பிரதேசம், போரதீவு பற்றி பிரதேசம், பவுனதீவு பிரதேசம், ஏறாவூர் பற்றி கரடியனாரை அண்டியிருக்கின்ற பிரதேசம், இதேபோன்று கிரான் பிரதேசத்தில் புலிவாஞ்சகல் என்று சொல்லப்படுகின்ற பிரதேசம், இப்படியான பிரதேசங்களில் பாரிய நிலப்பரப்புகள் இருக்கின்றன, வளங்கள் இருக்கின்றன. அந்த உள்ளீடுகளை வைத்துக் கொண்டு நாங்கள் பல தொழிற்சாலைகளை ஆரம்பிக்கலாம். அரிசி ஆலைகளை ஆரம்பிக்கலாம், பால்மா தொழிற்சாலைகளை ஆரம்பிக்கலாம், கடதாசி தொழிற்சாலை ஆரம்பிக்கலாம். அதே போன்று இன்னும் சொல்ல போனால் ஓட்டு தொழிற்சாலைகளையும் மட்பாண்ட தொழிற்சாலைகளையும் மரத்தை மூலப்பொருளாக கொண்ட தளபாட தொழிற்சாலைகளையும் கூட ஆரம்பிப்பதற்கான வாய்ப்புகள் வசதிகள் இருக்கின்றன. அதேபோன்று வடக்கு பிரதேசத்தில் பரந்தன் தொழிற்சாலை, ரசாயன தொழிற்சாலை காணப்பட்டது, சீமேந்து தொழிற்சாலை காணப்பட்டது, இவ்வாறு பல தொழிற்சாலைகள் காணப்பட்டன. 10 பிறகும் இந்த தொழிற்சாலைகள் உயிர்த்தெழ முடியாது என்றால் எங்களுடைய கணிப்பீடு என்னவென்றால் நாங்கள் அந்த பிரதேசங்களை பற்றி காட்டிய அக்கறைகள் மிக மிக குறைவாக காணப்படுகின்றது. 2 முன்பு பெறப்பட்ட ஒரு புள்ளி விவரத்தின் அடிப்படையில் பார்க்கின்ற போது இந்த தொழிற்சாலைகள் இருக்கின்ற மாகாணங்களை அவர் கணிப்பீடு செய்து புள்ளி விவர ரீதியில் பார்க்கின்ற போது 98.36 வீதமான தொழிற்சாலைகள் வடக்கு கிழக்கு வெளியில் காணப்படுகின்றது. 2 முன்பு இருந்த புள்ளி விவரம் அப்படி என்றால் 0.64 வீதமான தொழிற்சாலைகள் தான் வடக்கு கிழக்கில் காணப்படுகின்றன, 1 கூட இல்லை. அதே போன்றுதான் தொழிலாளர்களை எடுத்து பார்க்கின்ற போது 98.4 வீதமான தொழிலாளர்கள் வடக்கு கிழக்கு பிரதேசங்களுக்கு வெளியில் உள்ள தொழிற்சாலைகளில் பணியாற்றுகின்றார்கள். 1.6% தொழிலாளர்கள் தான் வடக்கு கிழக்கு பிரதேசங்களில் தொழில் வாய்ப்புகளை பெற்றிருக்கின்றார்கள். இந்த புள்ளிவிவரங்களை பார்க்கின்ற போது இந்த யுத்தத்திற்கு உள்ளாக்கப்பட்டிருக்கின்ற இந்த பிரதேசங்கள் 10 ஆண்டுகளிலும் கவனிப்பாரற்ற நிலையில் மாற்றாந்தாய் மனப்பாங்கில் வழிநடாத்துவது போன்ற ஒரு பிரமை எங்களுக்கு ஏற்படுகின்றது. இப்போது இந்த அரசாங்கத்திற்கு இருக்கின்ற ஆட்சி காலம் இன்னும் 1.5 வருடங்களாக இருக்க போகின்றது. 3.5 வருடங்கள் நாங்கள் இந்த பாராளுமன்றத்திற்கு பிரவேசித்த போது கன்சாட்டை எடுத்து பார்த்தால் போது உங்களுக்கு தெரியும், அப்போதே நிதியமைச்சர் குறிப்பிட்டிருந்தார், 2006 ஆம் ஆண்டுக்கான வரவு செலவு திட்டத்தின் போது குறிப்பிட்டிருந்தார், 3 தொழிற்சாலைகள்.
You have two more minutes.
நன்றி. அப்போது குறிப்பிட்டிருந்தார் 3 தொழிற்சாலைகள் ஆரம்பிக்கப்பட இருக்கின்றது என்ற விடயம். 2016 குறிப்பிட்டிருந்தார், 4 பாலங்கள் அமைக்கப்படுவதாகவும் குறிப்பிட்டிருந்தார். இந்த 3 தொழிற்சாலைகளில் எதுவும் அமைக்கப்படவும் இல்லை, 4 பாலங்களில் எதுவும் அமைக்கப்படவும் இல்லை. ஆகவே இருக்கின்ற 1.5 ஆண்டுகளில் இந்த வடக்கு கிழக்கு அபிவிருத்திக்கான செயலணி ஒன்று உருவாக்கப்பட்டு ஒரு குழந்தை பருவத்தில் காணப்படுகின்றது. எனவே இந்த காலத்திலாவது இவற்றை செய்து அங்கிருக்கின்ற இளைஞர் யுவதிகளுக்கு தொழில் வாய்ப்புகளை கொடுக்க வேண்டும். அவ்வாறு இல்லாதுவிட்டால் உளவியல் ரீதியாக ஏற்படுகின்ற தாக்கங்கள் மாற்றங்கள் தான் புரட்சிகளுக்கும் போராட்டங்களுக்கும் காரணமாக அமைந்திருக்கின்றன. எனவே இந்த உளவியல் ரீதியாக ஏற்படுகின்ற தாக்கங்கள் கடந்த காலத்தில் தென்பகுதியிலும் ஒரு ஜேவிபியினரின் புரட்சியை ஏற்படுத்தியிருந்தது. அதேபோன்றுதான் வடக்கு கிழக்கு பகுதியிலும் இந்த விடுதலை புலிகளின் போராட்டம் நடந்திருந்தது. அந்த போராட்டங்கள் முடிந்துவிட்டது என்றால் பிரச்சனைகள் முடிந்துவிட்டது என்று நாங்கள் அர்த்தம் கொள்ளக்கூடாது. பிரச்சனைகள் இருந்து கொண்டிருக்கின்றன, போராட்டத்திற்கான புரட்சிக்கான பிரச்சனைகள் இருந்து கொண்டுதான் இருக்கின்றன. ஆனால் யுத்தம் மௌனித்திருக்கின்றது. யுத்தம் மௌனித்து விட்டால் நாங்கள் நினைப்பதெல்லாம் என்னவென்றால் எல்லாவற்றையும் அடக்கிவிட்டோம், ஒடுக்கிவிட்டோம், பிரச்சனைகள் எல்லாம் முடிந்து விட்டது என்று கற்பனை பண்ணுகின்றோம். அப்படி இல்லை, பிரச்சனைகள் முடியவில்லை, பிரச்சனைகள் நீர்புத்த நெருப்பாக இருந்து கொண்டிருக்கின்றது. எனவே இந்த கைத்தொழிற்பேட்டைகளை விரைவாக அமைத்து இந்த தொழிலற்ற இளைஞர் யுவதிகளின் பிரச்சனைகளுக்கும் யுத்தத்தால் பாதிக்கப்பட்ட மக்களின் பிரச்சனைகளுக்கும் தீர்வு காண்பதற்கு இந்த அரசாங்கம் மிக மிக துரிதமாக செயற்பட வேண்டி இருக்கின்றது என்பதை இந்த இடத்தில் சுட்டிக்காட்டுவதோடு குழுக்களின் பிரதி தவிசாளர் அவர் குறிப்பிட்ட ஒரு விடயம், திருக்கேதீஸ்வர பிரச்சனையை பற்றி சொன்னார். உண்மையில் திருக்கேதீஸ்வர பிரச்சனை என்பது உண்மையில் இப்போது இருக்கின்ற அமைச்சர், அதற்கு பொறுப்பாக இருக்கின்ற தேசிய ஒருமைப்பாட்டுக்கு பொறுப்பாக இருக்கின்ற அமைச்சர் மிகவும் துரிதமாக செயல்படக்கூடியவர், இதனை பக்குவமாக அணுகக்கூடியவர். அந்த அடிப்படையில் கடந்த காலத்தில் மடு தேவாலயத்தில் அரசியல் தலைமைகள் பலவீனப்பட்ட காலத்திலும் கூட ஆண்டகை ராஜப்பு யோசப் படிகளார் அந்த தமிழ் மக்களுக்கு தலைமை தாங்கி அந்த மக்களை வழிநடத்தி சென்ற ஒரு பெருந்தகை. எனவே இப்படிப்பட்ட கிறிஸ்தவ மத தலைவர்கள் இருக்கின்ற போது இந்த பிரச்சனைகளை தீர்ப்பது என்பது கடினமான காரியம் அல்ல. கிறிஸ்தவ மக்களும் இந்து மக்களும் உண்மையில் இரு கண்கள் போன்று வாழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கின்றவர்கள். இந்த சிறிய பிரச்சனைகளை அரசியல் மயப்படுத்தாமல் இந்த பிரச்சனைகளை நிச்சயமாக எங்களுடைய தேசிய ஒருமைப்பாட்டு அமைச்சர் சரியாக அணுகக்கூடியவர். எனவே அதனை அணுகி உண்மையில் அந்த பிரச்சனைகளுக்கு தீர்வு கண்டு அந்த மக்கள் ஏற்கனவே வைத்திருந்த அதே ஐக்கியத்தோடு வாழ்வதற்கு உரிய வேலைப்பாட்டினை மிக விரைவாக செய்வார் என்று நாங்கள் எதிர்பார்க்கின்றோம். அதேபோன்று இந்து அலுவல்களுக்கு அவர் பொறுப்பாக இருக்கின்றார். பல எல்லை கோயில்கள் யுத்த காலத்தின் போது பாதிக்கப்பட்ட கோயில்கள் காணப்படுகின்றன. கடந்த காலத்திலும் சுவாமிநாதன் கௌரவ அமைச்சர் அவர் இருக்கின்ற போது பல பணிகளை செய்திருந்தார். முடிக்கின்றேன். அந்த வகையில் நீங்களும் அந்த எல்லை கோயில் தாந்தாமலையில் அமைந்திருக்கின்ற எல்லை கோயில், புல்லுமலை பகுதியில் இருக்கின்ற எல்லை கோயில்கள், அதே போன்று இந்த ஓமானியமடு போன்ற இடங்களில் காணப்படுகின்ற எல்லை கோயில்கள் இருக்கின்றன. இந்த எல்லை கோயில்களுக்கு அபிவிருத்தியில் நீங்கள் உதவி செய்ய வேண்டும். இவை கலாச்சார சின்னங்களாகவும் பக்திக்குரிய இடங்களாகவும் இருக்கின்றன. அவற்றையும் நீங்கள் செய்வீர்கள் என்ற கருத்தோடு எனது உரையினை நிறைவு செய்கின்றேன். நன்றி.
தேங்க்யூ. கரு சிஹான் சீனசிங்க மந்திரித்துமா உபத்துமாட்ட வினாடி தயாக தீரும்.
கரு நியோஜக தனாயகத்துமணி ஸ்ருதிவாந்த வேணும் உபத்துமா காலையில் அபாதீம சம்பந்தேன். විශේෂයෙන්ම අද අපේ රටේ ඉතාම වැදගත් අමාත්‍යංශයක් සම්බන්ධයෙන් කාර්ක සභා අවස්ථාවේ අදහස් දැක්වීමට ලැබීම ගැන සතුටු වෙනවා. ඒ වගේම ගරු නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි, මේ අමාත්‍යංශය සම්බන්ධයෙන් අද රටේ ජනතාවට ප්‍රශ්න රාශියක් තියෙනවා. මේ ආයෝජන ප්‍රවර්ධන මණ්ඩලය හරහා අමාත්‍යංශයේ ක්‍රියාකලාපය පිළිබඳ කිසිම විනිවිදභාවයක් අපිට අද පේන්න නෑ. ආයෝජනය එනවා කියලා කිව්වට ආයෝජකයෝ මේ රටට ඇවිල්ලා යනවා කියලා ආණ්ඩුව ප්‍රකාශ කරාට අපිට සැබවින්ම මේ ආයෝජනයක් සිදු වුණාද කියන ප්‍රශ්නේ අද රටේ ජනතාවට තියෙනවා. දැන් ගරු කතානායකතුමා නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි වර්තමාන ආණ්ඩුවේ මූලිකම වැඩ කටයුත්ත උනේ පෝට් සිටි ව්‍යාපෘතිය නවතා දැමීම. ඒ හරහා චීනය සමග ජාත්‍යන්තර වශයෙන් උත් කිසියම් රාජතාන්ත්‍රික ගැටලුවක් රජය නිර්මාණය කරගත්තා. ඒ වගේම ආයෝජනය සඳහා කිසිදු ආකාරයක ඉඩක් ලබා දීමට මේ ආණ්ඩුව කැමති නැහැ කියන පණිවිඩය ලෝකෙට ලබා දුන්නා. මොකද මහින්ද රාජපක්ෂ හිටපු ජනාධිපතිතුමාගේ අවදී මේ රටට ආපු ආයෝජන ඉතාම ප්‍රබල ආයෝජන වගේම අපේ රටේ කීර්තිනාමය ඉහළ නැංවීම සඳහා ආයෝජන රාශියක් බවට පත් වුණා. හැබැයි වර්තමාන ආණ්ඩුව ඇවිල්ලා සිදු කරේ ඔවුන්ට හිතවත් ඔවුන්මත් ඔවුන්ට අතයට ගනුදෙනුවක් කර ලබා ගන්න පුළුවන් ඔවුන්ට කොමිස් මුදලක් ලබා ගන්න පුළුවන් ආයෝජන වලට පමණක් ඉඩකඩ ලබා දීම. අපි දැක්කා මේ අවධියේ ආයෝජන ඇවිල්ලා ඒ ආයෝජකයෝ ඇමතිවරු කොමිස් ඉල්ලපු හින්දා ගියා. කොමිස් ඉල්ලපු හින්දා නැවත හැරිලා ගියා. ඒ වගේම තමයි මේ ආණ්ඩුව කොතරම් ආයෝජන අරගෙනාව කිව්වත් ඇමතුමනි මේ මම පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේම විස්තර ටික අරගත්ත මේ ෆොරින් ඩිරෙක්ට් ඉන්වෙස්ට්මන්ට්ස් පිළිබඳව මෙහි බැලුවොත් එහෙම වර්තමාන ආණ්ඩුව විසින් ගෙනාවපු ආයෝජනයක් හැටියට සඳහන් වෙන්නේ හම්බන්තොට පෝට් ගෲප් ප්‍රයිවට් ලිමිටඩ් ඇන් හම්බන්තොට පෝට් සර්විසස් කම්පනි ප්‍රයිවට් ලිමිටඩ්. මේ හම්බන්තොට වරාය විකුණලා අරගෙනාපු ඩොලර් මිලියන 1119 පමණයි වර්තමාන ආණ්ඩුවේ ආයෝජනයක් හැටියට ආයෝජන මණ්ඩලයේ විස්තර ලබා දීලා තියෙනවා. හැබැයි මේකත් මහින්ද රාජපක්ෂ ජනාධිපතිතුමාගේ යුගයේ මේ රටට ලබා දීපු දායාදයක්. ඒක විකුණලා ගත්ත ආදායම විතරයි. එහෙනම් ඊට අමතරව බැලුවොත් එහෙම මේ තියෙන ආයතන රාශියක් ඔවුන්ගේ ආයෝජන නවත්තලා තියෙනවා. ඔවුන් ගිවිසුම් ගත වෙච්ච ගිවිසුම් නැවත එකඟතාවයකින් තොරව නැවතිලා තියෙනවා. එහෙනම් වර්තමාන ආණ්ඩුවට කියන්න පුළුවන් හම්බන්තොට වරාය විකුණලා ගත්ත මුදල් ප්‍රමාණය ඔවුන්ගේ ආයෝජනයක් හැටියට පමණයි. දැන් අපි දැක්කා පහුගිය කාලේ නලින් බණ්ඩාර නියෝජ්‍ය අමාත්‍යතුමා නිවේදනය කරා රටේ අගමැතිවරයා විසින් සාමාන්‍යයෙන් කළ යුතු නිවේදනයක්. මෙතෙක් කල ද ෆොක්සකන් කම්පැනිය ගත්තොත් එහෙම රටේ ජනාධිපතිතුමයි අගමැතිතුමයි දෙන්නම ගිහිලා මුල් ගල තිබ්බා. හැබැයි මුල් ගල තියලා පැය 24ක් යන්න කලින් ජර්මානු තානාපති කාර්යාලයත් ෆොක්සකන් සමාගමත් නිවේදනයක් නිකුත් කරනවා අපේ රටේ එවැනි ආයෝජනයකට ඔවුන්ගේ කිසිම අදහසක් නැහැ කියලා. දැන් එවැනිම තත්ත්වයක් අපි දැක්කා මේ තෙල් පිරිපහදුවත් එක්ක. මේ තෙල් පිරිපහදුවේ ආයෝජනය ගැන රජයේ නිවේදනය කරාම ඕමානු රජයෙන් නිවේදනයක් නිකුත් වෙනවා. ඔවුන් ඒ ආකාරයට ආයෝජනයක් කිරීම සඳහා කිසිම සැලසුමක් කළා නැහැ කියලා. හැබැයි අපි දන්නේ නැහැ කොහොමද මේ ඕමානු ඛනිජ තෙල් සංවර්ධන අමාත්‍යවරයා මේ රටට අරගෙන ඇවිල්ලා ඒ මුල් ගලක් තියලා නැවත මේ රටේ ජනතාව රැවටීම සඳහා ආණ්ඩුව කටයුතු කරේ කියන කාරණාව සම්බන්ධයෙන් අපිට පැහැදිලිතාවයක් නැහැ. කෙසේ වෙතත් අපිට තියෙන එකම පැහැදිලිතාවය තමයි මෙවැනි ආයෝජනයක් කිරීම සඳහා කිසිදු පාර්ශවයක් මේ වෙනකොට සූදානම් නැහැ. මොකද ඉතාම පැහැදිලිව රොයිටර්ස් පුවත් සේවය වාර්තා කරා මේ ආයෝජනය සම්බන්ධයෙන් යම් ආයෝජනයක් මේ රටට ප්‍රායෝගිකව පැමිණෙන්න නම් අඩුම තරමේ තව වසරක කාලයක්වත් ගත වෙනවා කියලා. මොකද ඔවුන් මේ පිළිබඳ සාකච්ඡා කරන්න ඕනි, ශක්්‍යතා වාර්තා ගන්න ඕනි, ඒ අධ්‍යයන කටයුතු කරන්න ඕනි කියලා. එහිඳ මේ මුල් ගල තැබීම සිදු කරේ රනිල් වික්‍රමසිංහ අගමැතිතුමාගේ උපන්දිනය සැමරීම සඳහා පමණයි. එහෙම නැතුව මේ ආයෝජකයෙක් ගෙනීම සඳහා කරපු කාර්යභාරයක් නෙවෙයි. හැබැයි ආණ්ඩුවට ඒක පිටිපස්සේ වෙන චේතනාවක් තිබ්බා. ඒ චේතනාව තමයි මේ මහා බැංකුව විසින් මහා බැංකුව මංකොල්ල කාලා දැන් අපි දන්නවා මහපල අරමුදලේ මුදල් සම්බන්ධයෙන් වංචාවක් ගැන අපි අල්ලස්සා දූෂණ කොමිෂමරත් පැමිණිලි කරලා තියෙනවා. ඒකටත් මලික් සමරවික්‍රම අමාත්‍යතුමාගේ සම්බන්ධතාවයක් තියෙනවා. එතුමාට තමයි අපි මේ පැමිණිලි ඉදිරිපත් කරලා තියෙන්නේ. විශේෂයෙන්ම මේ තෙල් පිරිපහදුව සම්බන්ධයෙන් ආයෝජනය දිගින් දිගටම ආණ්ඩුව ඔවුන්ගේ බොරු කීමේ ප්‍රතිපත්තිය මත ආරම්භ කරපු තවත් එක ව්‍යාපෘතියක් කියන එක ඉතාම පැහැදිලිව කියන්න ඕනේ. එහෙනම් මේ හරහා සිදු වෙන්නේ අර මහා බැංකුව විසින් බැංකුම් කර නිකුතුවක් මගින් සිදු කරපු මහා මූල්‍ය වංචාවෙන් ඒකරාශී කරගත් ධනය නැවත අපේ රටට ගෙනීම සඳහා වැඩ කටයුතු කිරීමක්. එහෙනම් අපි නැවතත් කියනවා මේ සිදු කරන්නේ කළු සල්ලි සුදු කිරීමේ ව්‍යාපෘතියක්. එහෙම නැතුව ලංකාවට සැබවින්ම ආයෝජනයක් කරන්නේ නෙමෙයි. කොහොමද
නියෝජ්‍ය කාර්ක සභාපත්තුමේ ට්‍රන්ස්පේරන්සි ඉන්ටර්නේශනල් ලා ඇතනේ මේ ගැන කිව්වේ. ඔවුන් කිව්වේ ට්‍රන්ස්පේරන්සි ඉන්ටර්නේශනල් ශ්‍රී ලංකා බිලීව්ස් ද controversy surrounding the proposed $3.85 billion oil refinery in Hambantota could have a negative impact on Sri Lanka's efforts to remove itself from the Financial Action Task Force's grey list of countries vulnerable to money laundering and terrorism financing. මේක තමයි අපි දිගින් දිගටම ප්‍රකාශ කරන්නේ. මේ මුදල් විශුද්ධිකරණය සඳහා නීතිගත ආණ්ඩුව නීතිගත කරගන්නවා ඔවුන්ගේ ඔවුන් විසින් හොරකම් කරපු මුදල් නැවත මේ රටට ගෙනීමට.
ඔර ප්ලීස් ඔබ ගරු ඇමතුම.
ගරු නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි, දැන් මේ මුදල් එන්නේ බැංකු තුලින්. There is enough of precautions that the banks take when this money is coming here. They are not bringing notes. So Transparency International need not get worried because this is coming through the banking sources and they do all the checking.
No, Honourable Minister, not only Transparency International, the entire country is worried about
they don't have to worry because...
You know, you have become a part of many controversial issues in Sri Lanka. You have become a part of many controversial issues. Therefore, no sooner you are involved and no sooner there is a notice issued from the ministry, people think twice about it.
No, they don't have... Honourable Minister, they don't have to think twice. They can see for themselves. No.
So far,
we have
what
not
about,
done anything
can
wrong.
Can I know what,
and,
the, what is
and
the,
we will not do anything
the,
wrong.
What is the status of the Volkswagen investment?
Volkswagen.
Can you tell something about
yes,
that?
Yes, Volkswagen investment.
Oh, there's nothing to tell. Absolutely
wait, nothing to tell.
Even Honourable Harsha, Honourable Harsha prefers to refrain from talking about it.
The Volkswagen.
The man who took it forward. He is refraining to talk about it.
Honourable member, even I don't want to talk about it. The investment came from your own people. The investment
shame
came from Mr. Noel Selvanayagam, who was campaigning in Hambantota with Honourable
Kamal
Rajapaksa.
Now the Prime Minister has made two strong
Honourable Kamal Rajapaksa is also aware of
that. None of the investments are coming in. No, nobody's coming in. Everybody's pulling out the investments. Also, Garu Niyojya Kathanayakathumani, දැන් මේ ආයතනය සිල්වා පාක් ඉන්ටර්නැෂනල් කියන ආයතනය ආරම්භ කරලා අවුරුදු දෙකයි. හැබැයි බංකරින් ලයිසන් එකක් ගන්න පවා අපේ රටේ නීති අනුව එවැනි සමාගමකට වර්ෂ 3ක විගණන වාර්තාවක් අවශ්‍යයි බංකරින් ලයිසන් එකක් ගන්න. හැබැයි එවැනි තත්ත්වයක් නීතියක් තියෙන රටක අවුරුදු දෙකක් පමණක් පැරණි ආයතනයක් ව්‍යාපාරයක් කොහොමද තෙල් පිරිපහදුවක් වෙනුවෙන් ලයිසන් එකක් ගන්න? ඉතින් අපිට සැක කරන්න පුළුවන් කාරණා රාශියක් තියෙනවා. අනික අමාත්‍ය මණ්ඩලය තීන්දුව කරන අක්කර 400ක්. හැබැයි ඉතා පැහැදිලිව සියලු ජාත්‍යන්තර වාර්තා තීන්දුව කරනවා ඒක 400ක් නෙවෙයි අක්කර 585ක් කියලා. එයින්ද ගරු නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි, මේ සිදුවෙන්නේ අපේ රටේ ඉඩම් ක්‍රමානුකූලව මේ ආණ්ඩුවට හිතවත් සහ වංචනික ආකාරයට ඔවුන්ගේ හිතවත් කණ්ඩායම් වලට පැවරීමක්. මොකද මේ පවරන ඉඩම් කිසිමදාක නැවත පවරා ගැනීමට නොහැකි ආකාරයට තමයි ආණ්ඩුව කටයුතු කළ තියෙන්නේ. මම කාංචන විජේසේකර මන්තුමාගේ ඉතුරු විනාඩි 5ක් ගන්නවා. එයින්ද ගරු නියෝජක කතානායකතුමනි, මේක මහා හොරකමකට, මේ හොරකමක් වෙනුවෙන් කරන ආයෝජන මුවාවෙන් කරන හොරකමක් කියන එක අපි ඉතාම පැහැදිලිව කියන්න ඕනේ. ඒ වගේම අපි ඇමතුමා ඉන්න හින්දා අහන්න කැමති ඇමතුමනි, දැන් හයි ස්පීඩ් රේල්වේස් මේ ව්‍යාපෘතිය සම්බන්ධයෙන් ඔබතුමාලගේම අමාත්‍ය මණ්ඩලයේ ඇමතිවරයෙකුට රුපියල් මිලියන 500ක් අල්ලස් ගැනීම කොමිස් මුදලක් ඉල්ලීම සම්බන්ධයෙන් චෝදනාවක් තිබ්බා. මේ ගැන මොකද්ද පරීක්ෂණය? කොතෙක් දුරට මේ ගැන පරීක්ෂණ කළා තියෙනවද? මේ සත්‍යතාවය රටට හෙළි කළා නැහැ. හොරකම විතරක් තියෙනවා. ඒ හොරකම කරපු ඇමතිවරයාත් නිදහසේ, කිසිදු නීතියක් ඔහුට අදාළ වෙන්නේ නැහැ. ඔහු නිදහසේ ගමන් කරමින් සිටිනවා. එහෙනම් කරුණ ඇමතුමා, මට තව මිනිත්තු 4යි තියෙන්නේ. අය නෑ, you can answer me. Honorable Deputy Minister has more than 20 minutes. Please answer during that time. High speed railways ආයතනය සම්බන්ධයෙන් තිබිච්ච වංචාව. ඊළඟට ජනාධිපතිතුමා කිව්වා නිල් වල ව්‍යාපෘතිය සම්බන්ධයෙන් වංචාව. ඇමරිකානු ඩොලර් මිලියන 30යි. මේ ඔබතුමාගේ ආයතනය හරහා සිදුවෙච්ච වංචා. මේ ආයෝජන මණ්ඩලය හරහා ඇතිවෙච්ච ව්‍යාපෘති වෙනුවෙන් සිදුවෙච්ච වංක. මේ වගේ වංචා සිදුවෙද්දී ඔබතුමාලා නිහඬව කටයුතු කිරීම ගැන අපිට බරපතල සැකයක් තියෙනවා. ඒ වගේම තමයි ඔබතුමාගෙන් තව එක පැහැදිලි කිරීමක් අපි අහගන්න දැනගන්න අවශ්‍යයි. එමතුමා මගේ කාලේ නම් උත්තර දෙන්න එපා. ඔබතුමාලගේ ගජමිතුරු සමාගමේ ඔබතුමාගේ අඹයාලුවෙක් වෙච්ච මේ අද පුවත්පත් නිවේදනය කළා තියෙනවා. ඇලෝසියස් පියපුතු දෙදෙනාට අක්කර 450ක රජයේ තේවත්තක් මසකට රුපියල් 800ක බද්දකට අක්කරයක මිල රුපියල් 18යි මේ බදු දීම කරනවරු 2045 වෙනකන්. එමතුමා අපි අහන්නේ මේවා ජාතික අපරාධ නෙමෙයිද?
ඔබතුමායි පොයින්ට් ඔෆ් ඕඩර් එක
ජාතික අපරාධ නෙමෙයිද?
That is a very serious allegation. Arjun Aloysius is not a friend of mine. And I have nothing to do with his business. But he is a friend of Honorable Namal Rajapaksa, who was at his wedding as well. I have nothing to do with Aloysius. Nothing to do with our ministry.
In which capacity did you attend the breakfast meeting at the Central Bank with regards to the bond scam? You attended? You were not a member of parliament at that time? Honorable Kabir Hashim attended? The former finance minister attended? All of you all attended? After that meeting only, this mega bond scam took place.
I attended that meeting as an advice to the Prime Minister.
Okay.
We have very clearly stated, and the Bond Commission has accepted our statement, that Honorable Kabir Hashim and I went there only to find out the money that was required to pay the contractors. So these are all baseless, false allegations. Please don't do that.
Responsible for this bond scam. You all have not been cleared by the Bond Commission. Please don't mislead.
තපරයක් මහින්දනන්ද අලුගේ මන්ත්‍රම
මලික් සමරණකතුමා ඔබතුමා අර්ජුන ඇලෝසියස් මහතා දන්නේ නැහැ කිව්වා. එතුමගෙන් සල්ලි අරන් එක්සත් ජාතික පක්ෂයේ සංවිධායක වලට සල්ලි බෙදුවේ ඔබතුමා.
ඔබතුමා මගේ කාල නම් ගන්න එපා. මෙතුමා තමයි මහමැතිවරණේ.
ඔබතුමාට විනාඩි තමයි දෙකක් තියෙනවා. විනාඩි දෙකක්.
මහමැතිවරණේ ජනාධිපතිවරණේ ඊළඟට එන්න තියෙන ජනාධිපතිවරණේ මේ සම්පූර්ණ මූල්‍ය කළමනාකරණය කරන්නේ මලික්
සමරණකතුමා. ඕඩර් ප්ලීස්.
මේ වගකීම රනිල්
ඔබතුමායි පොයින්ට් ඔෆ් ඕඩර් එක.
මගේ නම කියුවා ගෞරව මහින්දානන්ද අදුගමේ. ඒක සම්පූර්ණ බොරුවක්. මේ විදිහ පට්ටපල් බොරු කියන්නේ බා.
හරි බොහොම ස්තුතියි. ඔබතුමා කතාරන්න.
මේ තියෙන්නේ එතුමාල්ලා කරපු හොරකම් පැහැදිලි කරන්න අපේ කාලේ ගන්න එපා. අපි ඔබතුමාලගේ හොරකම් පෙන්වලා දෙනවා. අද වෙනකන් ඔබතුමාලට බැරි වෙලා තියෙනවා මහා බැංකු බඳුන් කරේ සම්බන්ධයෙන් හොරකම සම්බන්ධයෙන් අගමැතිතුමා ඇතුළු ඔබතුමා මේ නිවැරදි කණ්ඩායමක් වඩ බත් වෙන්නේ හොරකමේ පාඩුව මේ රටේ මුළු ජනතාවම වඳිනවා මතුමා. එහෙනම් ඔබතුමාලට මේ පාපෙන් මිදෙන්න බෑ. මේ රටේ සමස්ත රටේ ආර්ථිකය කඩාවැටුනේ. අද ජනතාවට තුන් වේලක් කන්න බැරි මේ මහා බැංකු බැඳුම් කර හරහා සිදුවෙච්ච වංචාව. එහෙම සිදුවෙච්ච ගරු නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි කොහෙද ආයෝජකයෝ ඉන්නේ? ආයෝජකයෝ මේ රට ගැන හිතලා බලයිද? දැන් LNG විදුලි බලාගාරය සම්බන්ධයෙන් මොකද්ද ජර්මානු තානාපතිතුමා කිව්වේ? මේ රට ආයෝජනය සඳහා සුදුසු රටක් නෙවෙයි කියලා. LNG බලාගාරය ඉදිවෙන්නේ නැත්තේ ඇයි? ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන් උත් මහා බරපතල වංචාවක් යට තියෙනවා. හැම ගනුදෙනුවක් පිටිපස්සෙම බරපතල වංචා රාශියක් තියෙනවා. ඒ වගේම තමයි ආයෝජකයන්ට එන්න සුදුසු පරිසරයක් අපේ රටේ නැහැ. අද පැය 4ක් විදුලිය කැපෙනවා. සමහර දවස්වල පැය 24ක් ජලය කැපෙනවා. කොහොමද අපි ආයෝජකයන්ට කියන්නේ මේ රට ආයෝජකයන්ට මිත්‍රශීලී රටක් කියලා? ආණ්ඩුවට විසඳුම් දෙන්න බෑ. ඒ වෙනුවෙන් ගේන ජෙනරේටර් වලින් ආණ්ඩුව හොරගම් කරනවා. විදුලි බලාගාරයක් නිර්මාණය කරන්න ගියොත් ඒ වෙනුවෙන් හොරගම් කරනවා. ඇති වෙන්න තිබ්බ සම්පූර්ණ බලාගාරය හැදුවෙන ඉදිරියට වැඩ කටයුතු කරගෙන ගිය නැවතුවා. එයින්ද මේ ආණ්ඩුවේ වැඩපිළිවෙල අපේ රටේ ආයෝජකයෝ පය තියන්නේ නැති රටක් බවට පත්කරන ආණ්ඩුව සලසුම් කරා කියන කාරණාව ඉතා පැහැදිලිව කියමි. තව එක කාරණාවක් කියලා නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි මම අවසන් කරනවා. දැන් අපිට පේනවා ආයෝජකයෝ එන්නේ නැති හින්දා මේ රටට ඉතා පැහැදිලි ආයෝජකයෝ එන්නේ නැහැ. ඒ හින්දා තමයි මහා භාණ්ඩාගාරයේ කෝටි 10,000ක් මේ කාල පරිච්ඡේදය තුල සැපයීම් කරුවන්ට ගෙවන්න නියමිතයි. හැබැයි ගෙවා ගන්න විදිහක් නැහැ. කෝටි 10,000ක් ආණ්ඩුවේ මහා භාණ්ඩාගාරය අපේම රටේ සැපයීම් කරුවන්ට ගෙවන්න බෑ. එහෙම වෙනවද ගරු නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි? ආයෝජකයෝ ආවනම් අපේ රටේ මුදල් සංසරණය වැඩි වෙන්න ඕනි. ආයෝජකයෝ ආවනම් තව වෙනත් ආයෝජකයෝ එන්න ඕනි. මේ එන්නේ ඔක්කොම හොර ආයෝජකයෝ. මේ ආයෝජනය කරන්නේ රනිල් වික්‍රමසිංහ මැතිතුමා ඇතුළු එතුමාගේ මිත්‍රශීලී කණ්ඩායමයි මේ ආයෝජනය කියන්නේ. එහෙමනැතුව මේ පිටරටින් ෆොරින් ඩිරෙක් ඉන්වස්මන්ස් කියල එක දාන්න බෑ. ඒවා ලෝකල් ඩිරෙක් ඉන්වස්මන්ස්. මොකද ලෝකල් ලංකාවේ දේශීය වසයෙන් හොරගං කරපු සල්ලි සිංගප්පූරුවේ හංගල තියලා අද ඒක අරගෙන එන්න ක්‍රමවේදයක් තමයි හදන්නේ. ඒයින්ද කරු නියෝජ්‍ය කතානායකතුමනි අද අපේ රට ඉතාම අවාසනාවන්ත තැනකට තල්ලු වෙලා තියෙනවා. ඒ අවාසනාවන්ත තැනට අරගෙන ගියේ වර්තමාන ආණ්ඩුව කියන එක අපි ඉතාම පැහැදිලිව ප්‍රකාශ කරන්න ඕනි.
බොහොම ස්තුතියි.